You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to another edition of the Brews and the Boys podcast, produced by Shui Media and brought to you by way of Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, and the Vox Media Podcast Network. We are your friendly neighborhood podcast. We drink cold beverages and we love talking about America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, first place NFC East Dallas Cowboys. And every week we'll be giving you an in-depth look into everything you can expect from the Cowboys. You know me at this point, Michael Sizemore. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Sizemore. And you can find my co-host. He is with me as always. You know, he is the man of the hour. He's too sweet to be sour. He is the Arn Anderson to my Ric Flair. I talk the smack. He backs it up. That's how it works. Mr. Tom Ryle.
Yay!
And for the third straight week, we are coming to you with happy yays instead of down in the doldrum yays. The Cowboys have now kind of revived their season, their 2018 season, from being in the depths of despair to now having the sixth best odds in the NFC East, or in the NFC, I should say, to make the playoffs. They have pretty good odds to win their division, over half. 50-something percent to win their division, possibly. The Eagles did get only one game behind yesterday in their win over the Giants, but the Giants are just, they're trash. I mean, they're trash, and this is what happens to trash. They can't even hold a 19-3 lead, and, of course, Eli Manning's having the best three-game stretch of his career and makes a mistake at the end. That's what Eli does.
Yes.
And so now the Cowboys are sitting there still kind of, neck and neck with the Washington Redskins. The Cowboys get the win on Thanksgiving Day against their heated rival from Washington. Came in with Colt McCoy as the backup quarterback, and as backups do, he threw picks on picks.
Yes.
Three interceptions, Tom. The Cowboys get the win 31-23, but it really, once they lost the lead one time, it was a 13-10 game, but once Amari Cooper got going, they regained it, right, Tom?
Yeah, it was, you talked about sort of reviving their season. They didn't just sort of. This three-game stretch has completely turned it around at a time when I think both of us had given up hope.
Yeah.
And it just, this is just very stunning. It's one of those things where sometimes you want to give credit to people like Jason Garrett and Scott Linehan if you didn't wonder how much they had to do with digging the first hole to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But in that game, it really all broke. The first Amari Cooper touchdown was great, got him back in the lead. The second one was the one that served notice that the Cowboys were here to win this game.
Yeah.
And that was just a marvelous display of what Amari Cooper brings. Actually, those two plays, because you saw the ability to change direction, how he can just suddenly be going one way. He can suddenly make a move, and he is now going 180 degrees opposite of what the man covering him is doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, the defensive back is going, wait, trying to slam the brakes on. Meanwhile, Cooper's got 4 or 5 yards separation, is making an easy catch from Dak and putting a few moves on and turning on the Jets.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable.
Washington doesn't play sides, and so, a lot of folks were hoping they would get to see – Josh Norman play on Cooper. He did play on Cooper quite a few times. He did cover Amari Cooper. But Amari Cooper, most of the times when you saw Amari Cooper, you know, he made every single one of his nine catches were huge for the team because a lot of them were on third down. And you see that Cooper just has a really good way of making a defense, like defensive backs in general, look silly for even doubling or tripling him because he's such a precise route runner. It's hard to ever know how, like, he's going to sell his routes every single time.
Yeah. And, as has been pointed out, I was looking at Bob Sturm's Decoding Linehan, and he was showing thing, bringing up again on the 90-yard touchdown pass. He's running away from three defensive backs who all are close enough to hold hands.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He made a guy fall down.
Yes.
Which I always think about this. You know, I told you last week, I always look at these things as if I were looking at it in the in coaches' lenses. And, information about me, I was with my girlfriend's family for Thanksgiving, and her brother also played quarterback before. And he and I always like to, you know, just talk football. That's why we're so good. And that's why he wants her to marry me soon. But we talk football in a coach's sense, and we look at things and we say, man, what do you say to those Washington defensive backs when they come to the sideline? And I said, you know what you do, and I'll give his name, Zach Overton, shout out to you. He's a listener of our show. I said, I would say to them what Minnesota got caught mic'd up a few years ago against Dez Bryant when Dez was lined out on the 10-yard line against the Vikings, and they sent Andrew Sendejo, who is a friend of mine, a personal friend of mine, and he's a great guy, but they sent him to cover Dez, and he said he knew he was toast from the moment they sent a safety to cover Dez right there, because Dez just beat him one-on-one, got the ball with only 9 yards to go to the end zone, and burrowed his way through the end zone because nobody was over there to cover. When Andrew Sendejo got to the sideline, his coach just said, man, that's 88. That's what 88 do. Sorry. I mean, there's nothing else I can tell you. That's what I would have told Washington. I would have said, that's number 19. That's Amari Cooper. That's what he does. You played it right. Y'all were close enough to hold hands, as you stated, Tom. There was no stopping that. Once that happens, he was gone, and he got up to almost 22 miles an hour, or 21 miles an hour. That's as fast as I looked it up today. That's as fast as a black mamba snake. That's crazy. I mean, that's like as fast as a house cat.
That's one of the oddest comparisons I've ever seen.
No, it is. I didn't know snakes even move that fast, but I know house cats move that fast. I'm looking at my little gangster cat over here who's thinking about ways to kill me one day.
My cat gets out of doors, and he knows now that there's no hope for me. I'm too old to chase him down.
Exactly.
He doesn't even run from me. He trots kind of fast and laughs over his shoulder.
Yeah. Well, they're not here for cat talk, Tom. They're here for Cowboys talk. We're going to give it to him today.
The Amari Cooper effect.
It's real. It's
a two-way thing. You know, you're talking about what he does for the Cowboys, and I think it's obvious that everything is just working better because he was literally the missing piece. And it turns out, I mean, and don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because the sample size isn't that big yet. He may have been a better receiver than Oakland ever realized he was.
Well, Jerry mentioned Jack Del Rio, said that Jack Del Rio was a big selling point for Cooper, and he called him to thank him after this game. It's the truth. It's, you know, one coach's treasure is another man's trash. One coach's trash is another man's treasure. It happens all the time in this league. But what is crazy to me, Tom, is to think about how much of the impact that Amari Cooper has you know, made for this team. Because if you look at the offense, this is still Scott Linehan's offense. This is still Jason Garrett's style of offense. It's just that Amari Cooper fits it so well,
and he now has a place where the other pieces are there too. He has the quarterback who's able to get him the ball. You know, Dak is still coming along as far as hitting the deep balls and everything, but it was so exciting to see that pass to see that the pass is going 21 yards downfield. Yeah. On the 90-yard catch, it was a 21-yard air pass down the middle of the field. I don't think Dak has done that all season.
No.
And I just, my eyes lit up when I saw that. It was like, that's what we've been missing. And so he's got the quarterback that has faith in him, that can get the ball to him more often than not. I mean, you know, he had 9 targets and 8 receptions. Obviously, Dak had something going there when he was looking at Amari.
Yeah.
And but he's also got the stud running back to take the load off. So now they can't really just focus on him, because if they get too carried away trying to stop the passing attack, Zeke's going to gash him up the middle, you know, because he can rip off a 15, 16-yard run almost on any play. And doesn't take many of them to get in the end zone.
Exactly. And you want to, like, just this offense in general, I want to get to, you know, that is that, you know, we'll talk about Dak Prescott too, but what Amari Cooper has done for this offense, you just mentioned Zeke Elliott. You know, Zeke Elliott is, I think he had something like 500 rushing yards in the last 14 days. You know, like something like that, or 395, 400 rushing yards in the last 2 weeks, which, because the Cowboys have played 3 games. But you look at the Cowboys when they first played Washington, you know, earlier in the season, right before their bye week, and they were 3-4, dropped to 3-5 after they were 3-4 after that game. You know, their total yards against Washington was 323 yards. That was one of their worst outputs of the year, even though, you know, again, 300 yards is about what you kind of want to hit as a normal NFL offense. The Cowboys, you know, were worse against the Carolina Panthers, even worse again in their win against the Giants. But 323, just, you know, that's not going to get it cut these days. You know, that's not going to cut it against a lot of these defenses, a lot of these NFL, you know, teams in general. But the Cowboys just had, going from one of their worst offensive performances against the Washington Redskins just several weeks ago, have now just had their third 400-yard game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Against that same team. Their best game was against the Lions. Then they had that game against Philadelphia where they were over 400 yards. But Washington, 404 yards, that's their third best of the league. You can always have a team's number. You can, you know, dominate a team. And really, for the most part of that game, say what you want about the turnovers on the Washington side, the Cowboys just dominated Washington. They allowed one, you know, lead change, but that was nothing because the Cowboys just kept it away. You were talking, I remember having this argument, Tom, real quick with my significant other's mother. She had talked about how she was really worried that the Cowboys were going to blow their 11-point lead at the end of the game. But I was trying to explain to her, as somebody that has played football, somebody that have watched football so much, you know, over the course of my life, I was telling her what they're doing right now. You might see it as they're not trying to put their foot on the gas, they're not trying to score points, but what they're doing is preserving their lead, because look at the score and look at the scoreboard in general. Where are the timeouts? Point that out to me. Okay, those are the timeouts. Mm-hmm. How many do they have? None. Okay, they have less than 2 minutes. They have no timeouts. I think they kept one. It's like they do not have enough time to erase an 11-point lead. They don't.
Yeah.
Not with the way their quarterback was playing. Ain't happening. I told her, the win is preserved. Now eat your pecan pie. That's what I told her.
Yeah, and given the fact that the last score that Washington had was a field goal, that was really crucial, because that left an 8-point margin, and it was with a minute and 13 left. So all they could really try was the onside kick, which is virtually impossible under the new rules.
Of course.
So, the Cowboys, they may have pulled their head in a little bit and gone a little bit conservative at that point to try to preserve the win. But when you've got a 2-score lead and it's getting down into the fourth quarter, yeah, okay, you can do that. And maybe you don't get somebody hurt later on. It's hard to say. But the thing is, you can parse it too much and be too dissatisfied with something good. And this was a good, much needed win that put them in a place they really needed to be. Now, all of a sudden, this terrible NFC East, if the playoffs were today, two NFC East teams would be in.
Yeah. Because
the Cowboys would take the division, and Washington would be the last wild card in.
Exactly, because the Packers lose to Minnesota last night. That's a huge wild card implications for a lot of teams there, because the Cowboys don't play the Packers. They don't play the Minnesota Vikings. So now you have a potential that the wild card, the Carolina Panthers have lost three straight. The Seahawks got past the Carolina Panthers. That hurts you a little bit, but you still have, we've always talked here on this show about the Cowboys just need to think about their division, winning their division, because that's going to get them in. And that, with the way Amari Cooper has added and revitalized this offense, what he's added to it, it has shown you that this Cowboys team is capable of winning games you don't think that they're going to win. You talk about the impact it has. Before we go to break here in five or so minutes, I want to talk about Dak Prescott, because Dak Prescott has probably seen the biggest impact of anybody on this team through Amari Cooper being here. Because last season, Dak Prescott only completed, over 70% of his passes twice. Mm-hmm. One of them was a 28-17 win in week 3 against the Cardinals. But he only passed for 183 yards. And, he had the two touchdowns, but he passed for less than 200 yards. The other was a 28-6 loss on Thanksgiving Day with two interceptions and under 200 yards. Mm-hmm. But you see this year, this season, and more importantly, this season, just in the last several weeks, Dak Prescott is nearing 70% in the last four games that he's played. Each game he's gone over 70%. In the game, the win in Philadelphia, and this last win on Thanksgiving Day against Washington, he had his best passing day against Washington, 289 yards, two touchdowns, and he had his best passer rating, 121.6, so call that 122. He's got to be elated for what Amari Cooper has done for this offense and for him, because passing touchdowns-wise, before Amari Cooper, they were averaging one touchdown, just barely one touchdown per passing touchdown per game. And just in the last four games, they have five passing touchdowns, over one a game, more like one and a half is what they're looking at, close to that. The Cowboys, Dak Prescott, is just playing so well right now. Even when he starts games a little shaky, he's returning them, Tom. He's returning. Yeah. He's returning and being a better passer as the game wears on.
And you have to look at the fact that he now has something that he kind of lost this season, because used to, he knew if he went back, he would find either prior to this year, Jason Witten or Cole Beasley was going to be open.
Yes.
Well, Witten's gone. Beasley, people figured out how to take him away early on.
And they're still trying to take him away.
And they're still trying to take him away. But now all of a sudden, in the last game, he's found a new guy. And not only that, but Cooper has the complementary receivers in Michael Gallup and Beasley. Because if they start trying to take Cooper away, one of those two is going to be open. Yeah. And I think this is working for Dak. It's working for the whole receiving core. And it even works for Amari, because he doesn't have to be the only guy out there, because there's a couple other pretty dangerous targets on the field as well. And you've always got Zeke Elliott now, who can come out and be the safety valve player. The tight ends are still kind of up in the air, but yeah, they really didn't do so bad. Yeah. Blake Jarwin had a couple of receptions, so.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Dak's passer rating, and I like passer rating more than QBR. I just kind of do. I'm kind of old school that way. But I look at his passer rating over the season, and you can tell what people were talking about, what you and I were talking about, Tom, about how he was hot and cold. In the first week against Carolina, 81.1, that's not doing it. You got to be over 90. You just have to. You have to be over 90. And then you talk, okay, well, the next week he's 95.4. Okay, well, then he goes to Seattle and it's all the way down to 55. Okay, then he has a 118.6 against the Detroit Lions, still his best, or still was his, now his second best. Then he's back to 66. Then he's back. Then he's up to 100. Then he's to. But then you talk about after the bye week, 99, 103, 86 and a half against Atlanta. But let's be honest. Remember how awful the offense was moving the they were moving, but not scoring in that first half of the game. And also, it was a really slow game where Dak didn't even walk away with any passing touchdowns. You know. So it really wasn't a lot on him necessarily. He's getting dinged for those sacks. But then he has his best game against Washington, the team that sacked him four times in the first half on Thanksgiving Day, and then they don't sack him at all. I would say that Dak was responsible for two of those sacks on Thanksgiving Day, but then his offensive line does not allow anything in that second half. Nothing.
And if you're gonna say he was responsible for a couple of sacks in the first half, you got to give him credit for that brilliant run he made to score the final touchdown for Dak.
Yes. I mean, because he's just playing at a high level right now.
Yeah. As Stern pointed out, he was in a position on third down where that was the perfect place to try to make something out of nothing, because even if they sack him for a 10-yard loss, it's still a pretty short field goal. And
yeah.
What happened was he did get around him. He did break through with that athleticism. And I think really kind of broke their spirit a little bit with that, because you look at that and you're going like, my gosh,
yeah,
what else can we do?
Yeah, I mean, he's not throwing a bunch of touchdowns here. He's got 13 passing touchdowns this season. But you look at his interception ratio, and it's tied for fourth best in the NFL. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, and then there's Dak Prescott not throwing picks.
And that was the thing that set him apart as a rookie, and he's found that again. And I think that is just crucial to making the Dallas offense function with the personnel it has.
Yeah, they're slowly digging themselves out of this mess. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more about the Dallas Cowboys, more about Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, and this upcoming Thursday game with the best team in football, the New Orleans Saints. We'll be right back on the Brews and the Boys podcast. Are back talking with Tom Ryle. You can find him on Twitter at Tom Ryle BTB, my gracious co-host here on the Brews and the Boys podcast. You can find me at Mr. Sizemore. We're talking about the Cowboys' big win on Thanksgiving over Washington, giving them the NFC East lead right now. By the tiebreaker, they have that lead, even though they're tied with Washington. Washington's kind of trending downward. Cowboys are trending up. We do have to give some praise before we stop talking about this Washington game, which we're still going to spend another 10 minutes on. We got to talk about the defense, Tom. Guys like DeMarcus Lawrence are just playing out of their mind.
Yes. And Xavier Woods got singled out.
Yep.
He had an excellent game, including the interception. That
coming off a game where he played well the week before.
Yeah, so the safety position is kind of firming up. Byron Jones has been a shutdown corner for just about the whole season now. Mm-hmm. You can't say too much about the top two linebackers they've got right now. And it's amazing to sit there and talk about the two best linebackers on the field and realize – you don't even think about Sean Lee right now, because Jalen Smith and especially Leighton Vander Esch are just out there bawling out of their minds.
Yep. And that's one of the biggest reasons. If we're giving, Amari Cooper a lot of credit and Dak Prescott's turnaround and Zeke turnaround a lot of credit for the offensive side, on that defensive side, the Cowboys couldn't win a game without Sean Lee last year. Win a game. And now they have a rookie in there playing really well, even though he has his moments. He had his moments in this game. He's playing at an all-time high. He's got to be getting Pro Bowl consideration at this point. And he's playing with Jalen Smith, who is not showing up in the stat sheet as much as Leighton Vander Esch is. But Jalen Smith is kind of like, if I said that Sean Lee last week is, you know, Dr. Frankenstein here, you know, with Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith is kind of like the architect of that defense out there right now.
Yeah,
he's getting people lined up. He's taking care of his business. He's doing what been asked to do.
Because that was the intangible element that Sean Lee brought, was his ability to get the defense in position, and he was so good at knowing what was coming. And if Jalen Smith is able to do a good job at that, because obviously he's too early in his career to be as good, but he's showing great football intelligence. I think Vander Esch is going to be just about as good, and those two as a tandem is just incredibly exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And one last thing I just wanted to point out before we go back into the defense real quick. I wanted to go offense 1 second. I'm all over the place, but I just had to say this about Amari Cooper. Next-gen stats, I really love reading the Amari effect on Dak Prescott, and our – one of our best pals over at BTB OCC put this out today. I'm writing about it right now. Just the Amari effect on Dak Prescott. Before Amari Cooper, his average, target separation was 2.9 yards, easily one of the worst in the league. Mm-hmm. Now it's at 4 yards, one of the best in the league. His open throwing percentage was about 37% of the guy, of time they were open when he's throwing it to him. Now it's 55%. Completion percentage is up from 62 to 70, and passer rating is up from 87.4, which is just, below average, or average, I should say, to 101.2. That would be in the remaining tops of the league. So you just see all the effects these guys that Amari has had on them. And just, I want to, switching now back to that defense, I want to talk about the takeaways.
Yeah,
they are starting to get takeaways, Tom, and the Cowboys offense is starting to actually cash in for them.
Yes, it is starting to happen. And now in this game, they only cashed in on one of the takeaways.
Yes.
But the thing is, the other two were drive killers.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you have to look at where the takeaway happens and what the situation is. And in both of those cases, especially on the Xavier Woods interception, they were driving for a score and the Cowboys just snuffed it out.
Yes. And you got to talk about the reason they weren't scoring as much, Tom, against this defense is because let's not forget that Washington is one of the best defenses in the league as well.
Yeah, and they were getting takeaways.
Yeah, exactly. They were getting takeaways, but you look at their field position in this game. It was terrible for Dallas.
Yeah,
their field position was terrible.
I mean, when you score a 90-yard touchdown play, that says, okay, you weren't starting from a good place.
Exactly.
So when you have a drive start on the 1 yard line and it takes you two plays to score 7 points, that's pretty good.
No.
So they were making a lot out of not very much at times. They had some special teams mistakes, which they were able to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
At least Chris Jones was back to punting well.
Yes.
And, Brett Maher didn't miss.
No.
He didn't
miss. Brett Maher did not miss.
I think he dinked one off the upright, but he didn't miss.
That's right. And the Cowboys didn't turn over the ball.
Yeah, but they did. They did let some big returns come back, so they've got something to work on. But have to look forward and think. If the Cowboys can dictate the terms of the game the way they did in this one, they've got a shot on Thursday night.
Yeah, they do. They do. And we will get into that. I want to spend our last 10 minutes on the Saints, but right now I still want to just kind of envelop and talk about this just where the Cowboys are now compared to where we had them. We're trying to eat a lot of crow here, guys, just because of what we had thought coming in, and give credit to where credit is due. Give credit to Jason Garrett. I'm saying today in a column I'm writing about Amari Cooper that you cannot You can ridicule the front office all you want for the wide receiver by committee approach, but you also have to mention what they did to fix that.
Yeah.
So if you're not being fair if you don't mention what they did to fix that, because I don't think even they, Tom, realized the impact that Cooper would have at this point in time.
Yeah, and the other side is that you have to go way back and look at what was the market out there, and you know, there wasn't a lot. They had wound up having to take kind of leftovers after they missed out on their first attempt at bringing a guy in. And as things worked out, I think they wound up with a much better wide receiver than they would have gotten with their original target. I can't remember his name, who, but they were going after a guy that, you know, I don't think.
Oh, are you talking about early in the offseason?
Yeah.
Well, they were going first. They were going, because I wrote about this, and I'm kind of like the wide receiver whisperer over at BTB right now. The first receiver they went after was Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
That's the guy they really wanted. And then they also kind of, I know they kind of batted back and forth thinking about Devontae Parker in Miami, but he just hadn't played enough games to make them feel comfortable in trading for him.
So now they just kind of a combination of some good decisions and some good luck.
Yeah.
I think they've wound up with a wide receiving core, because don't forget, you've got Michael Gallup. He's just a rookie, has just undergone the tragic suicide of his brother. Mm. But I think he's got a lot of potential. They're going to have to make a decision on Cole Beasley, but if they want to keep him around for two or three more years, they've got a great nucleus in the wide receiver room.
Oh, of course. Of course. I think that they will make a, you know, we hear that they're going to make a decision on Dak and Amari this offseason, which I don't think is such a terrible idea, just because you get ahead of the coin and you're probably going to have to pay less. So I don't see that as such a terrible idea for them, even though some folks would. But I don't know where this is going to, you know, what's going to end up happening here. I don't know how this is going to end, but I just think the way that they have turned this thing around, from where they were to where they are now, to, you know, not being even able to barely, like, you know, scrape by on offense, to being one of the worst, you know, offenses in the NFL, clearly one of the worst in the NFL, to now starting to climb up that ladder to scoring 30 points, over 20 points every week, and scoring 30 points this past week against the best defense they've faced since they faced them last. It just shows you, before this game, Washington was right neck and neck with the Cowboys in the top five defenses. And now there's only one that still remains in the top five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's Dallas. Because they have been so good on defense that they have now, you see now that their offense is starting to say, hey, we're sorry that it's taken us so long to get to where you are, but now we're going to get where you are. Now we're going to do this, you know.
Yeah, you're seeing especially on third downs all of a sudden.
Yeah.
You know, there's one big turnaround the offense has made. It's that all of a sudden they're up in the 40% range on third down conversions, which is above the league average. And, you know, when you're flirting with 50% the way they have been over the past three games, you're going to be able to keep a lot of drives going and score some points.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what we're seeing happen now.
I mean, you're talking about a team that the Cowboys, you know, just several weeks ago, the Cowboys were barely scoring two touchdowns a game, sometimes not even one. Mm. Now they're scoring over like three a game, over three. That is a big deal for them.
Yes.
It's a huge deal. But let's talk about, you know, for the last, you know, 10 minutes or so, let's talk about the Cowboys game that they have coming up, because I know folks are, I mean, I'm not dreading this game. I think that this is a game that can kind of tell you where your team is at. New Orleans is blowing out everybody, guys. They're blowing out everybody. They're not just blowing out, you know, good. They're blowing out teams that they shouldn't be able to blow out those defenses, but they're doing it. And a lot of times when you play games like this, Tom, it's like when you played the Falcons, you have to do a great job of limiting those opportunities that they're going to have.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how the strengths match up, because the Saints have some outstanding wide receivers in Michael Thomas and Tre'Quan Smith. But I think Byron Jones is going to help take one of those away on any given play. And Anthony Brown didn't have a bad game. And Chidobe Awuzie seems to be getting a little bit better of an idea that he can't just do the whole play staring right in the eyes of the wide receiver. He's got to occasionally turn around and see where the ball is. If he can get that down, he's been in great position. He just hasn't been able to make a play because he doesn't see the ball coming in.
Yeah.
Going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, and he played better though in this past game. He's the reason that Xavier Woods got that interception.
Yes.
So,
again, it bounced off of Awuzie instead of him grabbing it, but we'll just, hopefully he's going to get one soon.
Yeah.
You've got Alvin Kamara, who is just been
touchdown machine,
doing wonderful things. It's going to be real interesting to see if Jalen Smith and Leighton Van Der Esch can slow him down with some help from the defensive line, because let's face it, people talk about DeMarcus Lawrence as a pass rusher. You have to talk about the way he chases down the run too.
Yeah.
And he's getting a lot of help from people like Tyrone Crawford and Antoine Woods.
And the Saints are currently listed as the number one rushing defense, but you have to take those things with a grain of salt, because nobody really tries to run on them because they're behind.
Mm-hmm.
So they're having to play from behind. So, the Saints are top. They're a top passing team. They're sixth in passing yards per game. They're sixth in rushing yards per game. But the Cowboys are fifth in stopping the run. The Cowboys are, 12th in fourth in stopping the run and 12th in stopping the pass. They do a pretty good job. They're better than what the Saints have been on defense, because the Saints are still 30th in passing defense. And the Cowboys are, they're just more close to the means in that case. Like, they're not as drastically different. So you could tell that everyone, they're trying to stop the pass. They're, because they're one of the worst teams in the league, so people don't really just run on them that much.
Yeah, and that's where it's going to come down to: can the Cowboys play their kind of game, which is not have to get away from the run because they're suddenly down two scores. They've got to stay in there. They need to get a score early. They need to establish success on the ground. And, that's going to depend a bit on Dak still being able to move the ball through the air as well, because, as we know, it all kind of weaves together.
Yes.
So it's going to be an interesting thing. If the Saints play their game, then the Cowboys are going to come out with a loss, and we'll have to look and see how the standings are after the weekend games to figure out what kind of a road they're facing to try and still make it into the playoffs. Because at this point, losing to the Saints does not slam the door.
No, it does not.
The past 3 weeks, we've kind of been talking like, if they don't win this, then really do they have a chance? Well, now they've gotten to a point with what else has happened that, this is not the end of the world if they lose. So they need, but they still, if they win it, they are in the driver's seat, and it's going to be hard for anybody to catch them, I think.
No, if the Cowboys somehow find a way, which I think a lot of us are kind of expecting, I'm expecting the Saints to win this game, but if the Cowboys find a way to prove everybody wrong that they can beat the Saints, then I don't know. I think it's going to be, everything's going to be, your confidence level is going to be through the roof, because you're not going to play anybody else that's going to make you say, oh my gosh, we got to play them. You're just not.
Yeah, the only other team right now, the Colts, you're going to have to watch out for. That could be a bit of a trap, but they've already played the Eagles and beaten them, and the Eagles are clearly not the team that they were a year ago.
No.
Last year, I think people are beginning to realize they had a phenomenal hit rate on free agents, which, of course,
11 of them were starters.
Yeah, you can't hold that kind of a team together, because free agents come and then they go. And other things just have not worked out as well for them. So what everyone was praising as the model for all NFL franchises going forward is suddenly like another, well, they got it right one year, but everything didn't line up for them. So I'm not worried about them. You don't think that with Colt McCoy that Washington can be a viable threat down the stretch?
No, not when their offense is just kind of it's puttering along like it has been.
Well, it's puttering along like, you know, that 15-year-old car that's kind of patched together.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're because they've got all kinds of parts and pieces they've lost, they've had to go in and replace. So you figure they're going to stumble, even though they have the easiest schedule going forward.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. And then I was going to say, and then you have to look, you know, the Eagles, they've still got the Rams coming up.
Yes, they do.
And you know, I'm not going to say the Rams are unbeatable because, you know, the Chiefs came awfully close, even though it was a game where basically it was, who has the ball last almost because they just kept scoring. It's going to be interesting to see when they clash with teams that have a different approach to things.
Yeah.
The Eagles are not the team I think that's going to be able to stop the Rams. So we know they've got losses coming up, plus they still got to face Washington twice.
Exactly.
So there's going to be some fratricide going on there within the division. So,
And you might be in a position where, like, if the Eagles are able to do if the Eagles are just able to hold serve, that might actually just help the Cowboys.
Yeah. Really? Yes.
If you beat them, especially if you beat them.
Yeah, and in the long run, if they were to, like, split the games.
Yes.
And then the Cowboys beat the Eagles and the Giants at the end of the season, then, I think their path to the division, just off of that, it's going to take an awful lot of other things happening kind of unexpectedly for the Cowboys not to wind up getting into the playoffs as the division champion. So.
Yeah, exactly. You know, The Cowboys right now, just to kind of bring this full circle a little bit, the Cowboys right now are just vastly different than what they were, and that gives you a little bit of hope. I know people can point out who they played, they can point out a lot of things, but understand that the NFC it's way easier or harder to win your division in the NFC right now. It's way harder to find, you know, these teams that are battling it out right now, or a lot of them are in the NFC. The wild card picture is huge. It's bigger than it's probably been in a long time. But the Cowboys are starting to do things that are letting you know maybe this team is capable of doing more. Maybe this team is capable of being a playoff team, because right now they are. Right now they're in. They have to continue to do, you know, it sucks that they lost 5 games. I get that. But they have to continue to control what they can control. They have to continue to this streak on defense of being able to get turnovers over the last several weeks. You know, New Orleans is a good team at getting turnovers. But again, think about it. Why are they good at getting turnovers? Because they can pin everything back now when their team has a lead. You have to play teams like that really, really close to the vest. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a same game plan that they had against Atlanta.
Yeah, and you know, another thing about the NFC is that what you've got is two very dominant teams in the Rams and the Saints, a Bears team that puts their level, and then a whole bunch of people that are playing fairly close to .500 ball right now.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the Cowboys just happen to be in the one division that you can play close to .500 ball and still come out on top. But the wild card thing, as you said, is wide open, which, again, I never thought we'd be talking about a possibility of a wild card team coming out of the NFC East. But here we are.
Yeah, you know, I talked about this last week, and I've kind of done that math again. You know, talking about the Cowboys defense and being able to get takeaways is huge for them going forward because they need those. You know, earlier in the season, they've only scored 13 of 42 possible points, and that's terrible. That was just terrible. But over these last few games, you know, now they're up to 28 of 36. 36 possible points off turnovers, they got 28 of, you know, points there. That's really good.
So that's much better.
Yes, exactly. And you know, Ezekiel Elliott has retaken his crown as the, you know,
yes,
rushing leader right now.
And we're kind of glossing over him, but he still is so much of a focus, and that becomes the question, because if they can get him going and if the Saints aren't able to figure out a way to bottle him up for like the first quarter or midway into the second quarter, so that the Cowboys are able to stick with their style of offense where they kind of mix it up and have a little bit of balance,
yeah,
to throw at you, all of a sudden the Saints come a little bit off the tracks trying to handle the other team.
Exactly.
I'm not too sure if this is going, you know, is this going to be the typical Saints running away with it, or is this going to wind up being either a high scoring shootout or a low scoring defensive struggle?
Yeah, never know.
I don't know which way it could go, but
And you mentioned, you know, before we close out, you had mentioned about just now about how they are still trying to, you know, square up against Ezekiel Elliott. Well, you got to credit Dak Prescott, because he's making them pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
He's making them pay for not respecting him. He's making them pay, defenses pay, for not thinking he can do what it is that he can do. Because, you know, I remember, you know, you remember when we were talking before the Lions game this year, Tom, and after he had that explosive game against the Lions, 255 yards passing, we had talked, mm-hmm, about how out of the last 9 of 11 games, Dak had been sub 200 yards and all of that. Okay, well, now Dak has only thrown less than 200 yards in one game since week three. Dak is only threw under 200 in one game, and that was a 40-7 rout of the Jaguars that was over way early.
Yeah.
You know, so now everyone can get on that. They want to talk about the stats. They can talk about how in the last, you know, let's see, 8 games, Dak is over, well over 207 of them. So there's your stat right there for Prescott. He's becoming a lot better. He's leading them. He, mm-hmm, has to continue to do that, Dak. I called you Dak. He has to continue to do that, Tom. Dak Prescott has to continue to make them pay, get the ball to your guys, pass it, you know, to, I think he had, what, passing to 6 different receivers in the last game? Do that. Keep going.
No, I think it was 8 different receivers.
8 different receivers, yeah. 8 different receivers.
He was heavy on Amari. Had a lot of completions to Zeke because that was his safety valve. But he spread it out and had 6 other guys catch the ball, which, you know, most receivers, they're okay with that as long as they're getting the W. And I think that's the thing, is a lot of people, in looking at the Cowboys, you almost have to first half of the season.
Yes, you pretty much
block
do.
That from your mind, because that's not what this team is right now. This is a much different, much more consistent team, we hope, because I had written several articles about the one thing they didn't have was consistency, because they kept, you know, lose, win, lose, win, lose, win. That was, mm-hmm, the first 5 games. Now they've got some consistency over 3 games.
Yeah.
That's still the big question. If they're consistent for another game, even if it's a close loss, I think if Dallas comes out of this losing by less than a score, by a 1-score margin,
you're probably feeling pretty good about that.
Yeah, then you're going like, hey, look at how everybody else did against them.
If their defense holds the Saints under, or, you know, under 30 points, 30 and under, that's, mm-hmm, probably a big, big win for that defense.
Yeah, and, you know, and like I said, even if they wind up losing by a 35-28 or something like that, or, mm-hmm, or 34-27, keeping it close, that still would say a lot about this team, that all of a sudden it's now able to contend, and that gives you a really good hope for putting together another little run to the end of the season. But we'll know in just a couple more days. We're going to find out how this works out.
That's true. That's true. He gave it to you guys. That's Tom Ryle. You can find him on Twitter at Tom Ryle BTB. You can find me at Mr. Sizemore. We just want to thank you guys for listening. This has been the Brews and the Boys podcast, official podcast of Blogging the Boys and SB Nation, through the Vox Media Podcast Network and our producers at Shway Media. Guys, leave us a review in iTunes. It helps out a ton. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Brews and the Boys. Check bloggingtheboys.com for all updates on anything Dallas Cowboys. Have a great night, Cowboys Nation. Thursday night, the Cowboys take on the Saints. The Saints that have won 10 in a row. Can the Cowboys put something on that Saints team and get that W when nobody expects it? This has been the Brews and the Boys podcast. He's Tom Ryle. I'm Michael Sizemore. We'll catch you later.
Brews and the Boys is produced by Shway Media and hosted by Michael Sizemore and Tom Ryle. For more, visit brewsandtheboys.com.
Hi, I'm Karis Fisher. I want to tell you about another podcast you should check out. It's called Recode Decode. Every week, I talk to tech and media's key players about how they're changing our world. I interview tech executives like Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, political figures like Hillary Clinton, and media personalities like John Carreyrou, who literally wrote the book on Theranos. Once again, the name of the show is Recode Decode, hosted by me, Karis Fisher. You can find it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to the show. See you there.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.